Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is. I'm Ana Mateo in Washington.
And I'm Mario Ritter.
There is a new celebrity in the United States. This woman is not a popular singer or a young Hollywood actress. She is an expert on organizing and cleaning. Imagine that. Her name is Marie Kondo. Some people say she wrote the book on organizing. That means she is considered an expert on clearing away unused or unnecessary things, better known as clutter.
Actually, she did write a book on the issue, a best-selling book. It is called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, The Japanese Art of Decluttering and Organizing. Her book is a bestseller around the world. It has sold more than 2 million copies. Marie Kondo says people can improve their lives by changing the way they think about all their stuff. Everything from books, documents, and photographs to clothing and personal mementos.
When you put your house in order, you put your affairs and your past in order too, Ms. Kondo writes. This is not the first time an organizing expert has written a book on clutter. Other books suggest wonderful things will happen when you organize your home. One book says that if you throw out 50 things from your home, you will actually find your life, as if it is hidden under small mountains of books or clothing.
Another book says that if you make clutter disappear, you will also lose weight. And still others promise a better job, more money, and a perfect family if you simply organize the things that fill your life.
Marie Kondo makes some of the same claims. She told the Business Insider website that some of her clients have lost weight. Your self-perception is improved by living in a clean and neat room, she said. This can change lifestyles and, in turn, appearances.
Marie Kondo teaches a method of organizing she calls KonMari. It is more of an event or ceremony. This is the part that followers say makes it more lasting.
Ms. Kondo says KonMari creates a different relationship between you and your possessions. If the object meant something to you or served you well, you thank it for its service before throwing or giving it away.
In her book, Ms. Kondo suggests that you touch the item and ask one simple question: does it bring me joy? If it doesn't, you give it away so that it may give joy to someone else. Now let's take a break. When we come back, we will give you some of Marie Kondo's tips or advice on tidying up your living spaces. Welcome back to As It Is. Today, we are talking about how cleaning out the clutter in your house could help to improve the quality of your life. And one woman, Marie Kondo, is currently leading that cause. Ms. Kondo is different from other organizing experts in many ways. In her book, Ms. Kondo says many popular methods of organizing simply add to the problem. She claims that if you organize things right the first time, you'll never have to do it again. Organizing your stuff, she said, should not be an ongoing process. It should be a one-time event.
Marie Kondo says you should not clear clutter room by room, as other experts have suggested. Her approach is by category. She suggests organizing things in this order: clothes, books, documents, other items and mementos, objects that have sentimental value. Those items that recall a personal memory are the last to go, because they are the hardest to part with.
Another difference is she advises people not to store things by season, so there will be no more storing winter sweaters away in the spring. She also warns people not to spend money on costly organizing boxes. Ms. Kondo says simple dresser drawers and shoe boxes work just fine.
Marie Kondo is in her early 30s. She says she has been organizing and cleaning since she was 11. She says that, as a little girl, her favorite things to do were reading books on keeping a home clean and organizing her family home.
But many people say her method of cleaning and organizing is too unrealistic. We all have things we think we need. Many may not create a feeling of joy, but they are necessary.
Other critics say the homes she cleans seem too impersonal. Having many pictures, books, and mementos in a house, they say, can create a homey, lived-in feel.
Also, Ms. Kondo does not have any children. This has made her the target of some criticism. People with children may laugh at the suggestion of keeping only the things that give you joy. A child may love a toy one day, but move on to something else the next.
Yes, Ms. Kondo has her critics, but she has a larger following. One might even say she has a cult following. Her followers call her a fairy and a snowflake. They talk of the healing power of simplifying their lives by throwing out stuff. They call themselves converts with a K, playing on the word convert with a C. These converts share before and after pictures on social media. They share stories on how Marie Kondo, a small Japanese woman, has changed their lives.
It seems Ms. Kondo has put her finger on something. In other words, she has touched on an issue that really means something to many people. We also call this Zeitgeist, a German word that means the general beliefs, ideas, and spirit of a time and place. Her way to clearing clutter to create the life you truly want has become the new zeitgeist of the moment.
How else do you know when you have arrived or become famous? When your name becomes a verb. On many social media sites, you will hear people saying they need to condo a bedroom, or they have condonized their closet.
Besides the tips already mentioned in the article, she advises people not to put things in piles. She suggests instead storing things next to each other so that you can see things easily. I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Anna Mateo. We hope you enjoyed this show on organizing your home. And join us again tomorrow for another As It Is.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is Words and Their Stories. Today, we continue our discussion of common Latin words and expressions in American English. This is not an impromptu discussion. We have been planning it for weeks. In contrast, impromptu means you do something without preparing ahead of time. Here's another example. Let's say you recently graduated from college and moved to New York City for your first job. Then one day, you run into a group of your college friends in Times Square. You and your friends have an impromptu reunion. You didn't plan it, it just happened. You and your friends are very happy to see each other. You talk about what you are doing now. But soon you start telling stories about the old days at your alma mater. This doesn't mean you are from the same nourishing mother, even though that is the Latin meaning. When we use alma mater, it means school, college, or university you once attended. Perhaps some of your friends were really good students in college. They graduated with honors. Laude in Latin means praise. When talking about graduating from college or university, laude is often translated as honor. Cum laude means graduating with honors. Magna cum laude means graduating with great honors. And summa cum laude means graduating with highest honors. Speaking of good students, many people who do well on tests have good memories. They are able to listen to a lecture and then repeat it back verbatim, or word for word. Others can repeat poems verbatim. They know them by heart. You can also write down someone else's words verbatim. But in some situations, doing this can get you in trouble. If a student copies someone else's work verbatim, it's called cheating. In fact, let's say two of your old college friends, we'll call them Marco and Amelia, were once caught cheating on an exam. The professor asked them, "So was it Marco who cheated off Amelia, or vice versa?" Vice versa means the reverse, or the other way around. When you and your friends remember that story, you might say you were not surprised. You knew that Marco was in love with Amelia, and vice versa. Since Marco loved Amelia, and Amelia loved Marco, maybe that is why they helped each other cheat. If Marco and Amelia were so much in love that they talked about each other ad nauseam, they talked about each other non-stop. Ad nauseam is when something or someone goes on and on and on to the point that others feel sick. That's the nauseam part. If you feel nauseated, you feel dizzy in your head and sick to your stomach. Some would say that is very similar to how love feels. But love is one of those things that makes life extraordinary. In the 1989 movie Dead Poets Society, Robin Williams plays a teacher at a private school for boys. He uses the Latin phrase carpe diem, or seize the day, to inspire his students to make their lives extraordinary.
Gather ye rosebuds while ye may, old time is still a-flying. And this same flower that smiles today, tomorrow will be dying.
Thank you, Mr. Fitz. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. The Latin term for that sentiment is carpe diem. Now, who knows what that means? Carpe diem. That's seize the day. Very good, Mr.
Today, I hope all our readers and listeners, carpe diem. We leave you with a well-known song by the rock band U2. Gloria means glory in Latin. And in te domine means in thee, O Lord. Are they singing about religion or a beautiful woman named Gloria? U2 leaves it up to you to decide. I'm Ana Mateo.
I'm Faith Lapidus.
And I'm Steve Ember with People in America in VOA Special English. Today we tell about jazz singer and pianist Shirley Horn.
Shirley Horn was considered one of the great jazz singers of the 1950s and 60s. She was often compared to the famous singers Ella Fitzgerald, Dinah Washington, and Sarah Vaughan. She performed for more than 50 years. Shirley Horn's voice was smooth and expressive, but never hurried. She was one of the slowest singers in jazz. When she sang a song, she wanted the audience to feel it in the same way she did. She had a small voice, but her songs had a big effect. Here, Shirley Horn sings her popular song, You're My Thrill.
You're my thrill. You do something to me. You send sparks right through me. When I look at you, 'cause you're my thrill.
Shirley Horn was born in Washington, D.C. in 1934. She lived all her life in and around Washington. Shirley began taking piano lessons when she was 4 years old. Her mother recognized her skill and love for the instrument. Shirley Horn said most of the songs she performed were ones she grew up with. She said her family loved music, and there was always music by the greatest singers and bands playing in her home. Horn said she lived for music. She said it was like food and water to her. Shirley Horn studied classical music as a teenager. When she was 17, she had a chance to attend the famous Juilliard School in New York City. But financial difficulties prevented her from going. Instead, she studied classical music at Howard University in Washington.
Shirley Horn had planned to have a career playing classical music on the piano, but she said all that changed after she began going to jazz clubs in Washington. She said she was influenced by some of the greatest jazz artists, such as Oscar Peterson and Ahmad Jamal. When asked about her change from classical music to jazz, she would later say, "I loved Rachmaninoff, but then Oscar Peterson became my Rachmaninoff, and Ahmad Jamal became my Debussy." Horn did not plan to be a singer. She said it happened by accident when she was 17 and playing classical music on the piano at a restaurant. A man offered to give her a huge toy teddy bear if she would sing the song Melancholy Baby. Although she had never sung in public before, she agreed. She later realized that she could make a living singing and playing jazz. Here, she sings the famous song by Cole Porter, Love for Sale.
Love for sale. Appetizing young love for sale. Love that's fresh and still unspoiled. Love that's only slightly soiled. Love for sale.
In 1954, Shirley Horn began to sing jazz in clubs and started her own jazz group. In 1960, she recorded her first album called Embers and Ashes. The album did not get a lot of attention, but the famous jazz musician Miles Davis heard it. He liked it so much that he invited Horn to play music with him in New York City. She sang as the opening act before his performance at New York's Village Vanguard nightclub. Davis had refused to play unless the club owner let Horn sing. Shirley Horn and Miles Davis developed a close friendship over the years. Here she sings and he plays the trumpet on the song Don't Let the Sun Catch You Crying.
Don't let the sun catch you crying. Crying at my front door. You've done me dirty now, and I don't want you no more. Sun catch you lying, lying at my front door. I found me a good man, and I just don't need you no more.
Shirley Horn's performance with Miles Davis in New York led to a record deal with Mercury Records. She was soon performing around the United States. She also recorded with Quincy Jones and other top musicians. But Horn soon left Mercury Records because of creative differences. She wanted to play the piano on all her recordings, but the record company did not agree. Shirley Horn stopped performing around the country in the 1960s so she could spend more time at home with her husband and daughter. She played at local nightclubs in the Washington area during the 1960s and 70s.
Shirley Horn rebuilt her career in the 1980s. She began performing more widely at jazz festivals and concerts around the world and received strong praise. In 1987, she signed a record deal with Verve Records and remained with the record company for the rest of her career. In 1990, Horn reunited with her good friend and teacher Miles Davis on the song You Won't Forget Me. She went on to record several successful albums and performed around the world. She also worked on several soundtracks for movies. Here are Shirley Horn and Miles Davis with You Won't Forget Me.
You won't forget me. the moon will cast on you. The shadow of your kiss. No matter where you are, with whom you are, you'll think of me. You won't forget me. Just wait and see.
Shirley Horne was nominated for several Grammy Awards. In 1998, she won the award for the album I Remember Miles, in memory of Miles Davis, who died in 1991. Horne received many honors during her career, but her last years were difficult. She had a series of health problems, including treatment for breast cancer. And in 2002, she had her foot removed because of problems caused by diabetes. Shirley Horne continued to sing for audiences, but she did so in a chair with someone else playing the piano. The loss of her foot made it difficult for her to work the pedals that control the way the piano sounds. However, during her last performances, she returned to playing the piano with the help of a device that took the place of her foot. In June of 2005, Horne suffered a stroke. She died 4 months later at the age of 71.
Critics say Shirley Horne influenced many young jazz musicians of today, including Diana Krall and Nora Jones. Critics say she will be remembered as one of the best singers in a great period of American jazz. In 2005, Verve Records released a collection of her work called But Beautiful, The Best of Shirley Horne. We leave you now with a song from that album called Here's to Life.
No complaints and no regrets. I still believe in chasing dreams and placing bets. But I have learned that all you give is all you get. So give it all you've got.
This program was written and produced by Cynthia Kirk. Our studio engineer was Bill Barber. I'm Faith Lapidus.
And I'm Steve Ember. Join us again next week for People in America in VOA Special English.
Down another road beyond a hill, and do it all again. So here's to life. And every joy it brings. So here's to life. To dreamers and their dreams. Funny how the time